Failure is not an option.
What difference at this point does it make?
Nobody said it was going to be fun.
This is Real Talk, a fearless, poignant, and intrepid show where truth speaks louder than words. This is Real Talk with your host, Audrey Russo.
The shame, not of this world, so we live on the run. We keep our eyes set, on what is to come.
It happened before. It will happen again. It's just a question of when.
Time's a luxury we don't have.
On Real Talk with Audrey Russo, this is Vince Everett Ellison. I'll be talking about my new documentary, Will You Go to Hell for Me? Please join me. We're going to have a great time. Audrey Russo is great, and we're going to talk about things that are going to set your soul on fire.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Audrey Russo, and you're listening to Real Talk. Families are making summer plans, and part of those plans for some is the summer season for theater in New York. And we're about to get the lowdown on what's hot and what's not on and off Broadway and actually throughout the country with my next guest. For my new listeners, Lauren Yarger is a syndicated reviewer for Broadway and off-Broadway theater in New York and professional theater in Connecticut for Reflections in the Light, the Connecticut Arts Connection, and BroadwayWorld.com. She's a voting member of the Drama Desk, the Outer Critics Circle, and the American Theater Critics Association. She's a member of the League of Professional Theater Women and co-founder of its Connecticut chapter. Lauren is also a producer and playwright member of the Dramatist Guild of America. She's a book reviewer for Publishers Weekly and a member of the National Book Critics Circle. Lauren is the owner of Gracewell Productions and president of Connecticut Theater Women Network. It's my great pleasure to give a Real Talk welcome back to Lauren Yarger. Well, if there's one guest I have that's used to hearing that, it's Lauren Yarger. It's so great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Audrey.
Here we are again. It was the end of the season, and you got the Tonys coming up. So let's take us to Broadway and beyond. What's going on?
Well, I'm going to give you a wrap up here. We're at the end of the season. Like you said, all of the awards have taken place now, except for the Tonys. So we're at the very end of the season. All the activity in New York, all the parties are happening. It's that time of year. So this has been an interesting season. We've talked about it a couple of times along the way. I've told you about the shows I've seen up to that point, but everything opened again at the end of the season this year. It seemed like we had 16 shows or something open in April. Yeah. And so it's just been kind of a whirlwind, but I do have some that I can tell you about, and your listeners can decide if it's something that they want to see. But I'm going to talk about one musical, and I think the rest are plays today. The play's the thing, you know, they all opened, but some good ones out there. So one musical I saw surprised me. It's called The Lost Boys. It's based on the film of the same name, and I had not seen the film. I'm not a big film buff myself, so right. Often when they make a Broadway show out of a film, there's a good chance that I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Which sometimes is a good thing, because I'm looking at it with fresh eyes and not coming in with expectations based on the movie or, you know, what I what I know about it. And this one, you know, I knew generally going in that it was loosely based on Peter Pan, and it also included vampires. And I have to tell you that neither one of those is appealing to me. So right. That's probably why I didn't see the movie, but I thought, oh my goodness, what is this? But let me tell you, this was a really good musical. I was really surprised. It's loosely based on Peter Pan and the Lost Boys. The idea is there, but it's not like a remake of that story at all. It's instead of them sort of becoming pirates and going on adventures, they become vampires, and it's not so adventurous. But it's, you know, it's a woman and her two teenage sons move to a new area, and there's a bunch of missing people in the area, and the boys are kind of one son is into stuff that isn't so great. The other son's sort of nerdy. He's kind of a very funny character. But anyway, it all comes together with them, you know, helping each other and getting out of this mess. And the music is really good. It's by a group called The Rescue, and it's just very good music. And the choreography is interesting. It's not, you know, it's not like when you think of Broadway musical, big dancing number. It's not like that. But they're just the movement and the dance that's put to the music is very, very creative. And this is some of the best special effects I've seen on Broadway in a long time. The vampires fly around, and it's some of the best flying work I've ever seen. You know, usually when you have, you know, somebody flying around on stage, you can see the wires.
Right.
But this is so well lighted. In fact, the director, Michael Arden, was part of the lighting team on this. You can't see anything. It looks like people flying around. It really does. And there's one scene where a person jumps off a bridge, and it's sort of like in slow motion. You see them, and they're singing while they're falling, and the light is with them. And it's really interesting. So I guess my advice on this one would be, don't shrug it off, because like I did, you know, you're thinking, boy, that, I don't know, that sounds like a great story for me. I wouldn't recommend it for young children, but for older adults, it's very interesting, and it is a contender. It's up for the Tony for the best musical. So it might be worth seeing if you happen to be in New York. After that, I saw a lot of plays. I saw a really fun one called Every Brilliant Thing, starring Daniel Radcliffe. Mm. He is actually not in it at this point anymore, but Mariska Hargitay, who's the star of Law and Order SVU, is taking over that role for the next month or so.
Really?
He was very good. I've liked Daniel Radcliffe in other things. I've seen him on stage. But this is the story of a young... I guess based in truth, the author actually experienced this, but this young man, his mother commits suicide, but in trying to, or tries to commit suicide and then does, but during the time of trying to work with her and help her to give her a more positive view of life, he starts a list, which he described as every brilliant thing. So every time he thinks of something or discovers something he thinks is just brilliant, you know, or wonderful or exciting or whatever, he writes it down. So he'll say, you know, number one, ice cream, you know, or something like just anything that when you think of it would make you happy. And so he continues this list for years, and he ends up with over a million really brilliant things that, you know, help his mother through that process, but then help him in his own depression later. To continue the list and to continue looking for those positive things around him. It's very cleverly done as well, because the audience participates. Now, there again, there's a little red flag for me, audience participation. Not my thing, okay? But this one is really different. There are many people in the audience participate. They're selected before the show, and they're given one of the brilliant things to say. So the dialogue will be going on, and he'll be talking about something that happened or whatever. And then I came to number 462, and somebody from the audience says, sunshine on a cloudy day, or whatever that brilliant item is. And there's a lot of those. And then there are a couple of people who play characters for him. One plays his father, one plays his love interest, another plays, you know, not where they have to memorize lines or anything like that. I think the father, there's one, the first scene that he engages with the father, he tells him, "You just say why every time I say something." <You know? laughs> So then he goes into the dialogue and the father says, "Why?" And he goes on with the dialogue. So, but it's very, very ingeniously done. You know, it's very engaging. And the audience is also seated on the stage. So it's very intimate, you know, for usually on a Broadway stage, a one person show is a hard thing to do. But this is very well done, very well executed, and it was really, I thought, positive and uplifting, the message. And it's very fast. It's a very short show, about 85 minutes with no intermission. Wow. So if you're looking for a positive, fun thing to go to, and if you're, you know, fans of Law and Order, you want to see Mariska up on stage, I guess a lot of, the day I went, everyone was a Harry Potter fan. You know, everyone was there for Daniel Radcliffe. But it was the most friendly audience I have ever engaged. I mean, you walked in and people would like walk up and shake your hand and say, "Hi, I'm Carol. I'm in from Iowa to see this. Where did you come from?" It was like the Harry Potter fan club came or something. I don't know. So it was very, a very fun, different kind of show. So I recommend it. Another play I saw, Fear of 13, wasn't so uplifting. Oh. The topic is very serious. A man who was kept on death row for over 20 years for a crime that he didn't commit. And it was all about how he manages to deal with that and his attempts to try to get his case looked at. And a woman who becomes involved with him and ends up marrying him, and it was very dark. It reminded me a lot of one we talked about on one of the other segments I came on with you, Audrey. It was called Punch. Same thing, somebody ends up in jail for one punch that killed a person. And so it's kind of dark and hard topic, but well done. And you know, again, if you're looking for something more serious, that might be something you could look at. It is directed by David Cromer, who's one of my favorite directors on Broadway, and it's really well directed. It happened that the night that I was there, the actual person who wrote this was in the audience, and had a bunch of people who had come with him who also had been inmates on death row and had been wrongly convicted. So it was, I know people felt like, you know, that it was, you know, if you're into social issues, that kind of thing, it was very moving, and it accomplished something. So that was very interesting. Another one, now back to funny, okay. Trying to keep a balance for everybody. I just saw one that just opened. And this is just running through the summer. So if you want to catch this one, you'll have to get there by the end of August, I think it is. It's called Celebrity Autobiography. Now, this is really a riot. I saw this show. It's been running for years off Broadway.
Really?
It hasn't been a solid run where it runs every week, every night, or anything like that. But it's every so often they'll do a run of it, particularly at the Triad Theater, an off Broadway theater, which is sort of like a dinner club setting with tables, and you can have drinks and snacks and things while you're watching the show.
Right.
But what happens is they have celebrity people come and read from autobiographies that have been written by celebrities. And it is really a riot because you cannot make this stuff up. That, I think that's the tagline of the show. We couldn't make this stuff up. But the things that these celebrities have written in their autobiographies are just funny. I mean, they really are. I mean, it's just, you know, and it's not even taking them out of context or anything like that. It's just what seemed important to them at the time when they were writing this book, or their perspective on something is really funny when you hear it read out loud, you know. And some of the performers, a few of them did sort of imitations of the people that they were reading of. So that kind of lent to the humor of it as well. It's not all that, though. It's not everybody impersonating who they're reading, but there's some of that. But they have a whole slew of celebrities who are scheduled to do the readings through the summer. So you might have someone who's doing it for 2 weeks. You might have somebody who's only doing it for a couple of performances or one performance, depending on who they are and what their schedule was. So if you are interested in seeing that, you go online and you can click on the celebrity that you're interested in seeing, and it'll tell you what dates they're doing. So that you can have some idea of who you're going to see. It won't tell you everybody, but the sort of more mainline celebrity people you can do that for.
Wow.
It's very funny. I would say that most people would enjoy it. Probably young people might not be as interested. Most of the people whose autobiographies are being read are older people or people who are no longer with us, but movie stars from the golden age, that kind of thing. So like Elizabeth Taylor,
right.
And the romance with her and Eddie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds and, you know, Richard Burton, you know, so if you know those names,
right.
it's funny and you'll be into it. But if you're a young person who has never heard of Elizabeth Taylor, you might be lost as to who these people are. But it's very, very amusing. And I mean, some of the funnier ones are, you know, they'll read from those people, from their autobiographies, telling the same story, but it's different from in every book. You know, Liz says she made the phone call and Debbie says she made the phone call. And it's just very funny when the way it's done, they kind of mash them up and put them together. And it's very amusing. So that's a cute one. It's about 90 minutes, no intermission. Again, you know, not taking itself very seriously,
yeah.
But very fun. Awesome. I enjoyed that. Okay, then back to Sirius.
Okay.
We have Giant, which stars John Lithgow as Roald Dahl. And I think that was on, the last time I was on, I mentioned this was opening, that I was heading to see it. And it's pretty dark. It's
really
about the fact that he was anti-Semitic, which I did not know.
Oh, wow.
But I don't really know that much about Roald Dahl, to be honest. I know he's written the books Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Giant, James and the Giant Peach, all these children's classics.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know anything about him personally, except that he'd once been married to Patricia Neal.
Right.
But this play is about this particular period in history where he had written a book review for a newspaper. And in the book review was very, made some really pretty ugly remarks about the author, and they were very much anti-Semitic remarks. So he came under a lot of fire for that. And then the play centers on his wife and his publicist, his manager, you know, trying to convince him that what he needs to do to save his reputation is to apologize, you know, that this is not going over well with the public. But he seems very unaware of that, or really unaware that he said anything that was offensive at all. And so there's this whole conversation, which is basically the play, about that and what, you know, what should he do? And he doesn't think he should do anything because he didn't say anything and so forth. And then, you know, not to give away too much, but all of this is fiction. This is all based on, you know, a guess as to what the conversations between these people might have been.
Right.
The only real part of it is that he did write the book review, and that there is a particular conversation that apparently is word for word that really did take place that does show that he had anti-Semitic comments to make. So the problem for me was you know, here it is. That's what it was, right? But I sat there wondering why I was there.
Yeah.
Why am I sitting in the audience? You know, why are you telling me this story? I didn't get was I supposed to get that he was prejudiced but didn't know it? Was that supposed to be a commentary on everybody? Or was I supposed to come away from it that I wasn't supposed to allow my children to read these books? Or, you know,
right.
You know, for me, it didn't land solidly as to why this story was being told now, especially about an incident that I didn't know about. Most of the people in the audience that were talking had never heard of this either. So
I'm curious, because I think I understand in 2020, the family apologized for him. I mean, he was already dead and gone, but did that enter into it or no?
No.
No. Interesting.
No, because this was all taking place at that time. At that time period when it happened.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Yeah, there was no, like, you know, like you make a good point. There was no, you know, like video with a written word saying, and in 2020, whenever that happened, this all came up to life again when the family, you know, there was no, I don't know. There was just no, to me, there was no real reason why I knew why I was there. So if it's something that interests you, that might be good. I mean, certainly the acting, John Lithgow, is very good. But
yeah.
Again, the play itself, it left me with questions.
Yeah.
Okay, and then one more good play I want to make sure I get in, because we may be running on time already. Time always goes.
No, we got time. You can go. Okay, I want to hear all this stuff. I'm getting an education.
I saw The Ballisters by David Lindsay Abaire. I personally am just a little bit in love with David Lindsay Abaire's writing. I just, every time he writes a play, I love it. I can't help myself.
So you're prejudiced.
I guess. You know, I mean, I try not to be, but because I've had that happen before where I think that, and then I go and I'm like, what the heck was that? But I really enjoy his writing. He writes about people, real people, and real people's emotions and just the way people operate. You know, he's got a very good handle on humanity, I think. Right. And he brings these characters together, and there's usually a message in there, you know, but it's not like a over the top kind of message. He has a lot of humor in his plays, and there certainly is a lot of humor in this one. There's a good cast. We have Richard Thomas from The Waltons,
right.
Is one of the characters. Mary Louise Burke, who is a favorite in David Lindsay Abaire's play. She just is a funny actress who can usually capture one of his characters pretty easily. Margaret Collin, Anika Noni Rose is in it. So, I mean, and there's other people too. And it's what it is these people are members of a neighborhood association. And so they get together in the home of one of the members, and they're discussing things like the balusters is the name of it. You know, what kind of balusters can you put on your porch, and what's going to be approved by this committee and not? And in the midst of talking about all of these sort of, you know, non-important things, other things come out, and it centers on a traffic light that's been put in, and the newest member of this organization who just moved in to the area is questioning whether that traffic light should be moved or if they can request it be moved. And one of the other people, you know, was behind the effort to put that light in. And so there are all of these arguments that ensue, but it's very funny. You know, it's, you know, you know somebody in this group, if, especially if you've been in a group like this, if you belong to your neighborhood association or, right. You know, your condo association or something like that, you'll find it funny just right off the bat. But just people getting together and having their own priorities and their own little personalities and how they conflict when they come together. Very funny play. And one of my favorites, actually, of his in more recent years. I really loved Ripcord. It's, I think, probably my favorite.
Yeah.
But this one is right up there. I really, really enjoyed it. So I recommend that. And it's also nominated for the Tony for Best Play. And I wouldn't be surprised if you saw that happen.
Wow.
It really is very good. And then a great revival we have going this season is Death of a Salesman.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Okay. Once again, I was like, okay, how many Death of a Salesman do I have to see? I mean, it's funny. I'm supposed to be a theater enthusiast, and here on almost all of these, I'm like, I don't know. Do I want to see that? You know? But, you know, when you see so many after a while, you do start asking those questions. And we just saw Death of a Salesman revived on Broadway just recently. And so I was kind of like, well, I don't know about this. But Nathan Lane is playing the lead with Laurie Metcalf, and it's directed by Joe Mantello. It's really good.
Really?
I mean, it's one of the better adaptations that I've seen of this play, which, you know, is a classic, obviously. Everybody has read this play or you were in this play at some point or something. But I felt more of the emotional package of this time than I ever have before. I really felt for Willie Loman. Nathan Lane is superb. He really, and again, he's a comedic actor to me. He certainly has done other dramatic work, but right. In my mind, when I think of Nathan Lane, I think he's funny, you know, and I
that's
you know,
he's, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't know about this, but he was really good. Very vulnerable, very, you just really understood him and his pain and what he was going through. And Laurie Metcalf was great. Of course, she always is in anything that I've ever seen her in, but she gave the wife, Linda, you know, more of a personality and more of an emotional connection to things than I have felt in other productions of that play. So again, a very good production that I would recommend, especially if you're a fan of the play. Don't miss this one, you know. Yeah. So that's what we have going on Broadway. The Tonys are coming up. We'll see who wins. Alisa.
Any guesses? Any calculated guess?
Yeah, it's hard. I think the best play, I really think that probably it will be The Ballisters, but I can't swear. Giant is, you know, the one about Roald Dahl is one of the nominees with that. Again, the play itself left me a little with questions. So the play itself, I wouldn't put that against The Ballisters myself, but who knows? You know, I mean, it's a very entertaining kind of play that, you know, with great performances, so people may be influenced by that. Best musical is a hard one. We have a bunch of different ones this year that are up, and nothing that really stood out, if you know what I mean, like right. Where, you know, like, this wasn't a year where you had a Hamilton or something where you were just like, that's it. I can tell you for sure, revival of a musical will be Ragtime. I'll be completely shocked if it's anything else. And Joshua Henry will win for best actor in a musical. There's just nobody else who's going to beat him this year. He has already won every other award there is for that. And it's just, again, I can't recommend, if you have one choice of seeing one thing on Broadway this year, go see Ragtime, because it is mm-hmm. just one of a once in a lifetime performance. You just will not see this again. The cast that's assembled, the direction, the lighting, it's magnificent. It really is. So
is that they have plans of that touring too, or no?
Well, it wouldn't be this cast.
Of course not.
It wouldn't be good, or you know, I'm sure it would. Anytime I've seen Ragtime, I've liked it. It's a very good musical.
Yeah.
But you know, this particular, it's just one of those, like, all of, you know, Perfect Storm, everything came together, and it's just, you won't see a production like this again. So I can't recommend that one enough. Yeah. The other, again, there's nothing else that really like stood out enough that I can like go through and say this one are going to win. Other than that, I'd be guessing. So we'll see. I mean, you're like best revival of a musical. You have Ragtime, you have Cats, the Jellicle Ball, which is a remake of Cats as a drag bar kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
So, really? They do?
Yeah, it's going to be Ragtime, you know? So yes, in that category, I'm pretty confident.
I don't have to see it, and I know that you're right. So.
Yeah, so anyway, very interesting. I did want to talk about, just quickly, about a few tours that have been either started or announced that are coming, because, again, we talked about this because we focused on tours last time.
Right.
And you can go to that site, Broadway,
AcrossAmerica.com,
right. And put in your town, your city, and it'll give you what tours are coming through your area and when, if they've been announced so far. But some shows that are on Broadway now have tours that have been announced, and one is Just in Time, which is the musical about Bobby Darin, and it's all of his music, Mac the Knife, Splish Splash, I Was Taking a Bath, Dream Lover, all the songs you know and love if you love Bobby Darin. It's his story, and about his life, and a lot of it I didn't know. I found it very interesting. So that has announced a tour that'll be coming through. Hell's Kitchen, which is from a couple of seasons ago, has music by Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
And it's very good. It's a good story about a young girl, and the person who influences her and mentors her in her life. And the music is very good. It's Alicia Keys. Obviously, if you like her, you like the music. So that tour has been announced. And also maybe Happy Ending, which is an odd musical that won the Tony Award for Best Musical last year.
Wow.
And it's about two robots who fall in love, basically. But it's all about AI, you know, and how they, you know, they both are generated as, you know, like I say robots, maybe that's not the correct term, but they're not people. They're mechanical intelligence units that, you know, serve humans basically, but then they have emotions and fall in love. It's kind of an odd, like I said, an odd musical with music that is good, but not, I couldn't sing you a song from it. It's one of those, you know, it's not like when you think of Broadway musical and you think of songs and your choreography and, you know,
sure,
the way,
exactly. We actors use them for other auditions, but apparently not those songs.
Right. But it's not that at all. And it's just two people. So again,
the whole musical is two people.
Yeah. So anyway, those are the two. And then also coming on tour is my favorite. And we talked about this before, Operation Mincemeat, which I loved, just loved. And if you have a chance to see that, if it's coming to you, I highly recommend it because you won't laugh that much probably at another show in quite a long time. And it was just so well done. It's just the timing. It's five. I think it's five. About that number, cast members playing all these different parts, telling the story of how the British maneuver Hitler during World War II to make him think that they're invading in Italy when they're really invading somewhere else. And they use a dead body to do it. And it's just, I mean, it's crazy, but apparently this was a movie also, a couple of different movies actually.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the kind of, when I heard it, I thought they made him, because I had actually heard about that movie, and I was like, they made a musical out of that? But it's really funny. I mean, it's really well done and just, you know, just adorable, really. So again, I highly recommend it. So those are my recommendations for you this time at the end of the season.
Awesome. Awesome. And where can the listeners follow and support your excellent work and follow also the work of Gracewell Productions, whatever you have going on, which feel free to share about that.
Right. Well, Gracewell at gracewellproductions.com will get you to all of it. Once I update the site, it actually has clips from you and other places where I talk about theater and other things like that. I'm doing a reading this summer. I've been doing readings up here in Connecticut. I have several different one-act works that I'll be doing. So I'm looking forward to that. And
excellent.
Going into a new season. So here we go.
It's very exciting. And as always, I'll have those links on my after show, which is now on the live show page. Just go to AudreyRusso.com, click on the On Air button, and right under the show description, you'll find all the links and info you need to follow Lauren's work. Thanks so much, Lauren, again, for sharing all this info that I love about Broadway. But then that's just something personal. And I know the listeners are jealous, right? Like, kidding. Thanks so much. We look forward to your return to the show. Until then, may God bless you, your work, and may God save America. Bye for now.